I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Recovery. We're on our way to another award-winning episode. Bill Arnold across the studio, George Fraser on the board, Alex W. George, I was reading a quote from an author that said, if you want to know what a man is like, take a good look at how he treats his inferiors, not his equals. And I'm pretty nice to you, aren't I, George?
I think you are, yeah.
Yeah, see, I
think, come on, Walter.
It's a sign of what a man's like.
You know, I think it is. I like the new voice, Bill. It's
well, it's
very
a little deeper.
Yeah.
It's a little deeper. I had a busy night last night, and I used my voice a lot, and it's kind of shot today. I sound like Robert Goulet, don't I?
You too. Yeah.
So, George, we've got a great show tonight. We've got our in-studio guest, Matt Ward's, with us tonight, and he's going to tell us his powerful story, testimony, and we're going to talk about step four. And I want to start off with a little question to you, George. Is walking with God easy?
No. It has to be, for me, it's an everyday, all the time, have to make decisions all the time to submit and be obedient. There's just not an automatic carryover. I think one of the hard things about Christianity for me and my walk, Bill, is there's not a lot of momentum. And I get in my way a lot because my first thought is, how's this going to affect me, George Fraser? So I guess for me, it's kind of a day at a time. Mm-hmm. I have to pick up my cross daily.
Yep.
Now, does it work better than the old way? Oh, gosh, yes. But there's some effort. There's some action here, don't you think? It's not just
there
a one-time, cosmic Jeopardy show where I'll take Jesus Christ for $500, Alec, and go forward, and boom, I'm good. I say a prayer, and all of a sudden I'm good. I think Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tall order.
George, all true spirituality is messy spirituality, I think, because we make wrong turns, we get lost, we don't stop and ask for directions. But thank goodness God restores our souls.
Absolutely.
He faithfully guides us into paths of righteousness. That's
yes.
From Psalm 23. I think that's where that's from.
That's very good. We're saved, but then there's some work, the sanctification, that the old man has to die daily.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard for me.
Yeah. And if we seek on the physical level, which really can only be obtained on a spiritual level, then I think we're setting ourselves up for kind of a cycle that's just going to lead to despair and desperation and bondage to sin.
Yes. It's a both and. I need to make sure I get my workouts, my sleep, eat right. But I have to be prayed up every day. I have to be in the Word. And I have to be around Christian community to hold me accountable. Because left on my own, I drift.
George, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, Scripture warns us that when we give ourselves to an idol, it can ensnare us and trap us so we cannot break free. So
okay.
We have to be very careful what we allow ourselves to experiment with, to try, to say, oh, you know what, this can't hurt me. What's so wrong with trying something once? I think what Scripture really teaches us is to avoid it altogether.
Well, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And for me, Bill, my off button seems to be broken at times.
Yeah, this we know to
well,
be true.
If you look
this
at it,
we know.
One of the things that's a key is maybe we like things too much.
Yes.
And you start obsessing about when can I do that again, or, well, at least today I'm going to do this. And if it's great if it involves God, but a lot of times it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. George, let's talk about step four, because we like to talk about a step a week.
We do.
And this is the time in the show that we do it. And you're Mr. Step Boy, so let's get at it.
Well, we talked a little bit before the show about how timely this is. And what step four is, we make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I don't want to get confused with step 10, where I'm taking my inventory on a daily basis to make sure that I'm going to my meetings, I'm in the Word, I'm working out, I'm mm-hmm. taking care of self. This is deeper. This is causes and conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And what we look at is we look at our resentments, our fears, and our sex conduct. I want to focus on the resentment and fears tonight. The resentments are important because I can't love God and be angry at my brother. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. You're going to get mad. And the way I can tell if I have a resentment is I'm reliving, Bill. If I think about something or somebody or something that happened and it changes how I feel, I get that anger going, it's blocking me from God.
Yeah, that verse that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes.
1 year I was up for 3 months straight.
Okay, summer, hopefully.
No, I don't think it was summer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a rough 3 months.
But you got through it.
I did, yeah.
How'd
yeah.
you get through it?
Just
too tired? You weren't the best?
I finally just caved, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know how that is. We've got things where we might have a resentment against a person, place, or thing. And we can't go forward. We're stuck. I have to be honest and go, I like having that righteous anger thing going sometimes. I feel justified, and it makes me puffed up.
But all right, George, can I ask you this?
Yes.
What is part of the resentment the feeling that you are not being understood by someone?
It can be that.
Okay.
It can be that you're not getting what you think you should get,
mm-hmm.
misunderstood. Or maybe somebody just went out of their way to do something not too nice to you.
Mm-hmm. So you felt snubbed?
You could be snubbed. All sorts of things. What it does, though, is our reaction to it. And what we do is we pray. We pray to God that this person is spiritually sick, like we all are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get mad at people for getting cancer, and we're spiritually sick. And then where can I be of service? Because what we want to do is get rid of our peace so we can do what God wants us to do. And it's very freeing. However, I'll make a caution to you here, Bill. We just don't say one prayer and everything's good. You might have to pray about each situation many times and daily.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for our fears. I'm a king, a son of the king of the universe. I should not be afraid. I can't live with love and fear at the same time. So when I am afraid, I acknowledge it and I pray to God, keep me from being afraid. I know you're sovereign. I know you have a handle on everything. Where can I be of service to you? And at once, usually that fear goes away because I was focused on what might happen to me or I might not get what I think I need, and I'm focused on God again. That's why we do these steps. I want to keep focused on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. George, I had a little bit of a rough week as I've was dealing with some men in the recovery program that I volunteer with, and I went to court on Monday or Tuesday, and I was pretty confident that this person was going to return to the program, and they ended up taking him off in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know when that's going to happen. And Friday night, as I was finishing up my talk, a guy said to me, I'm not going to be here next Friday because I have court, and I'm pretty positive I'm going away for 7 to 10 years. And then as I was walking out the door, another guy who was finishing up the program said, boy, I've just so enjoyed, you coming down here and thanks for being here. And I said, oh, great. I said something to the effect of, what are you going to do when you graduate? He goes, well, I don't know. I just was told I have liver cancer.
Wow.
You know, and I don't want to be discouraged at times, but boy, I tell you, if you don't return to the Word and get some rest and let God recharge your batteries, you can become a crazy person. I'm not at crazy, but I'm at the edge of crazy.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And that does happen. A lot of times we get angry with guys we're trying to share the love of Christ with because they don't do what we want them to do. I mean, that's pretty selfish, too. And what I have to, get out of this, and I've worked with the same guys for many years and had some real letdowns, you kind of wonder why you're doing it. We do it because the liver cancer guy. Maybe he got saved,
mm-hmm.
and so we're all going to die anyway. And it's not about getting sober. It's about getting saved and having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure Paul got discouraged many times.
Oh, to the point of despair where he said, I almost
yes.
would rather just not be alive anymore.
But we know how it comes out in the end, and that's what I want to focus on, that maybe I have a resentment that I'm doing all this stuff and I'm not seeing any fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be obedient, and that's hard. I'm not trying to minimize that at all. I appreciate your honesty. The hardest part for me in working with guys is the frustration. But then I think about how frustrated Jesus must be with me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he told me that the other night.
Did he?
I was in the Word, and I said, "What? Excuse me, what, Lord? Yeah. Oh, yeah, George, he knows me too. Yeah.
Well, you remember... You remember, but he loves me.
Of course he loves you.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, do you love me? Feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He asked him three times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think part of that is to let him know that he forgave him for denying him three times, but also, feed my sheep. This isn't about how we feel about it. It's not about whether we think it's doing any good. We're commanded to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a really good job of that. What invariably happens is, we were talking before we went on air, that Satan roars around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. He doesn't want you going down there and talking about Jesus.
That's for sure. And one of the things I have to always be reminding myself is, I have to take God's strength down there, not mine.
Sure.
Because mine is limited, and I can find myself kind of getting completely beat up, feeling discouraged, and walk out of there going, oh. And that's not, I think that's not healthy. I mean, I need to, obviously, when you pick someone up, you're going to get a little dirty as well. But when you're going to down there without God's, you know, if you don't go down there with God's strength, you're going to end up pretty sapped.
Yes. And it is a spiritual battle.
I agree.
So we go down there, you know, armed and ready. It's going to be disappointing at times, but when you reflect back on it, think about how many lives that you've impacted positively, especially your own.
Well, you don't know that. You hope you've, I've been impacted for sure.
That's what I always look at.
Yeah.
The number one way for me to stay sober, according to a book I read, is intensive work with other alcoholics. Here's the thing. It's not that it keeps me from drinking because I see how bad it is. It's the victory and the joy of seeing somebody get sober and get saved that lights up the scoreboard in me like nothing else. Mm-hmm. And you know that's true.
I do. I knew it's true.
When you disciple people.
Absolutely.
So that's why we do it. And is it going to get discouraging? You bet. But, you know, I appreciate you sharing it. And what we do is we take some time away.
Yeah.
We pray, we get quiet, and we listen to God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
Like that.
What was me? Boo-hoo.
Anyway, I think it's healthy.
We're going to take a very short break when we come back.
Man up over there.
In studio guest Matt Ward's up in the on-deck circle. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex W. on the board. We're having a great night already, George.
We are.
Beautiful Sunday.
Sinatra?
That's Sinatra. Yeah.
Going through Mom's records again, huh?
Yes,
I am. I like Sinatra.
Thank you very much. In the studio tonight with limited adult supervision, which is the way we like it. Sunday nights, 5:17. It's a beautiful night out there. I hope you're having a good weekend. Thanks for joining us. We've got in-studio guest Matt Ward with us tonight, and he has got quite a story to tell. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
See, he's already off to a good start, George.
Amen. I like what the commercial said and what George said, and it's not our story, it's God's story.
Absolutely. And you've got a great God story to share tonight,
don't
you?
Yeah, so just a quick disclaimer. When we share our testimony, I think it's important that our testimony is not the gospel, but our testimony points to the gospel.
Okay.
And it's encouraging. And so I have some wild stuff God did, and that doesn't mean that this should happen in everyone's life, but God does set us free. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. So let me ask you if I can.
Please do.
You grew up here in the cities.
I did.
Okay.
Cultural hub of Minnesota, which is Coon Rapids.
Okay, fine. And then you had a fairly ambitious childhood, and then you were into athletics and having a pretty good time. And then what happened going forward?
That's a great segue, because my story, like probably anyone else's, is the story of a person trying to seek satisfaction everywhere that they shouldn't, because only satisfaction truly comes from Christ, of course. And so athletics mildly, but, you know, it was always about what could I achieve? It was women. Was it money? Was it success? And so when I graduated high school, I knew college wasn't for me. I went to the School of Entrepreneurship, and I'd look at the squirrels outside in the trees, and I'd be jealous of them. So I thought, this isn't going to work. So started a home building company and was fairly successful as a young man who did not know what he was doing. And I just went from one thing to another. Athletics didn't really satisfy me. I'll make a lot of money. That'll satisfy me. Had some mild success there, and then a lot of chasing women, and I thought, that'll satisfy me. Well, turns out the success didn't satisfy me. Women didn't satisfy me. Nothing really seemed to satisfy me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I live my life for the next as many years, 10 years or so. I ran my building company into the ground, because along the lines of being a relatively successful entrepreneur, I discovered that drugs really was a nice little vacation for me, mental vacation. Alcohol was fine, but it wasn't satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
All the other drugs I tried, they were fine, mushrooms, marijuana, et cetera, but they didn't satisfy me. And one day, one of my trimmers, the guy who worked for me, who did the finish work in the houses, gave me some cocaine. And I always was afraid to try that, and I tried it, and I thought, well, this can satisfy me. This is fantastic. And I just had the greatest feeling in my life for about a week, whatever. So this is, of course, Satan's trick, right? You feel great, and then it goes away, and you feel like dying. And then you do more, and you do more, and there you have addiction, right, in a nutshell. So I realized that at a very early age, I had a cocaine problem, along with other problems. Ran that company into the ground, started another company, a real estate company, commercial real estate, and ramped right up to the top, a ton of success. Seemed like everything I touched turned to gold, except for there was this one nagging problem. I still had this little cocaine addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So a strange thing happened during these years. So I grew up in a religious home, but it was one of those religions that Jesus filled the cup up half the way and then you filled up the other half with your works, okay? So I knew about God, but I didn't know him. I didn't know. Being born again, that term, freaked me out. I thought, that is weird.
You had always voted for God, but you really never knew him personally.
I was a big fan of his until I had my sin, and I said, I like my sin more, Lord.
Uh-huh.
Very honest, George. An interesting thing happened. I started getting people witnessing to me in the most odd circumstances. In a bathroom, at a bar, at a coffee shop. Someone called me out of the blue, an old lady. It was just all this stuff. I started getting people telling me the gospel story. Clients would sit me down and tell me the gospel. I even went to a week-long seminar with one of my clients, and at the end of it, he said, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord? And I said, no, I don't. And really, I did, but I just wasn't done sinning.
You were in the grip of addiction, though.
Yeah, and I knew there was a choice to make there, but my choice was me. I wanted what I wanted, and I wanted it when I wanted it, and I wanted it on my terms, right?
You sound like George's little brother right now.
So
I get that. Yeah. We try something, and it's enticing, and all of a sudden, it's like, where has this been my whole life?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't last very long,
does it? That's a little trick Satan uses, isn't it? So during this process, my next company started doing really well, and my problems started surfacing. They started, I was on that Romans 1 road where it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I realized I had an addiction problem. So I started trying things. So I started trying to go to church. I tried AA, and I knew that the answer wasn't AA. I started trying treatment centers, and I knew that the answer wasn't there. I went to Hazleton twice, but paid my own money, just went to Christian, treatment centers.
Okay.
And it just wasn't happening, and I was frustrated, I was scared, and I knew that something needed to happen. And I knew my life was unraveling. I was losing all my idols, which was money and women, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was unraveling, and I started really crying out to the Lord. So I started crying out. I started going to church. I went to a not very good church. Basically told me God loves you, and he wants to make you rich and healthy and all that. I signed up. I thought, I love me. I'd like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Still didn't work. And in this process, though, everything started unraveling, and I started being exposed. My sin started coming to light. I went through a period of time where I spent about 3 years just pretending to be a Christian, and things just got worse and worse and worse. And during this period, I did start reading the Word, and which is funny because I never read at all before I was saved. And I started reading the Word, and I started understanding it. But I wasn't born again,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord was drawing me in, and he was exposing me to the Scriptures. And I could memorize them. I found that he gave me a gift of recalling Scripture. And somewhere along that path, things just fell off. The wheels fell off, essentially. And I fell asleep one night with my Bible on my chest, just weeping because I couldn't stop cocaine. I just couldn't stop it. I'd stop for a week. I'd stop for 30 days, whatever.
Why did she go back?
because I didn't have the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, you can have a form of godliness, but there is no power. And so I had the answers, I had the Word, but I did not have the Spirit. And what happened to me, and this is where it gets a little bit dramatic, but this is my testimony, and so this is what the Lord did. He doesn't have to do this all the time. I fell asleep with a Bible on my chest and weeping out to Him. And by the way, I did this a lot. I did this a whole lot. And about 3:30 in the morning, the Holy Spirit came down like this big ball of light and hit me right here. And I sat up and I was just praying in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
And I was freaked out. And I didn't know what was going on. And it was blah, blah, blah in Jesus' name, blah, 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 mm-hmm. in Jesus' name. And went back to bed scared, really scared. It was like a holiness and fear and power and reverence. All of these things rolled into one. And yet I had a feeling it was just a tiny bit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And my life didn't get better right away. That happened two more times without the tongues, but two more of those visits. And after the third visit, a crazy, wild, wonderful thing happened. My addiction was gone.
Mm.
I never white-knuckled it. I never wanted to use drugs again at all. And I was born again somewhere in that process. And I'm kind of, I told you I'm bad at timelines, but along this process, I also started going to a Bible study. I also met a wonderful man by the name of Wally who started mentoring me, and we started getting in the scriptures together. And somewhere in that period, I became born again. I don't have a date and a time, but I know that I was transformed, and I just found that I needed to be in the Word of God. And actually, one of my favorite verses, could I share this?
Please.
So, by the way, I preach and I teach now, so you're going to have to shut me up
when
I start.
We will do so.
I know you will.
Yeah.
But I do love preaching Christ from the Old Testament. I love preaching the gospel from the Old Testament because Jesus said it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, by the way, this is the best gospel in the entire Bible, the best descriptive gospel presentation. And so when things are repeated in the Old Testament, they're important. And he repeats the word, I will. And so here it goes. It goes like this. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. From all your uncleanness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And then this is the best part. I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. And the creme de la creme, this is what's not taught enough. This is the part of the gospel that is beautiful, the inner workings of the gospel. He says, and I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And this is what Jesus Christ does. He doesn't just come. Remember John, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He does that, but he doesn't just take them away. He lives inside of us, and he causes us to walk in his ways and to be careful to obey his statutes. This doesn't mean we live in sinless perfection, by the way. We still stumble. But this means as we abide in Christ, John 15, as we keep putting his word in us, he transforms us, and he puts us on a new trajectory, gives us a new heart. We hate the sins we used to love. And we love the things that God wants us to love. He changes our hearts. And that's what he did for me.
Fantastic. That's quite a story there, George.
I like that. A lot of good things there, Bill. Break this down a little bit. One of the things is, here's a guy that was drawn in by the Holy Spirit while he's still using. We all are. The idea that I want to quit using comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Doesn't from us. Now, he had a lot of success. But it's not good enough. How do you know it's not good enough unless you have something to compare it with? And I think that's where the Holy Spirit, the first part of the miracle, start.
Yeah.
Okay?
How can you call a crooked line crooked if you don't know what a straight line looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So here we go, and we've had a lot of success, but it's not good enough. And he's trying to do things. Goes to treatment, relapses. Goes to treatment, relapses. But there's a persistence here that I think comes from above. Once God's knocking, you can't run away. You might do it for a while, but the hound of heaven's going to get you, right?
Yep.
That's the old saying, and that's what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the Word when this happens, Bill.
Yeah.
He's in the Word.
Yep.
And he had been going to church. I'd like to talk to you about that church where you make a lot of money and everything's great. Because the one I'm going to is not
working
that way.
Yeah. Can I get that website?
Yeah.
but I get that. But, you know, here's the other thing. If I get everything I want, that never worked either, did it?
Yeah, well, that's not what God wants,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, that doesn't work. So a lot of things happen here on a time period, and all of a sudden, he doesn't want to use anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's experience is a little different, but there's some common things here that I want to point out that I heard.
Okay. Can we go to break, George?
Well,
are you cool with that? Or will I absolutely destroy your momentum?
I hope I remember it over the
break.
Write
it down.
Yeah.
Write it down on those little post-it notes in front of your microphone there. We're going to take a very short break. Thanks for being with us tonight on Real Recovery. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to My Faith Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being on board tonight. We're glad you're with us. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex on the board. We're having a great conversation tonight with Matt Ward. He's in studio. And George, unbelief lies at the heart of idolatry, doesn't it? You know, we think an idol is serving us, but in reality, we're serving it. And it's not until you have a clean transformation, regenerated heart, can you start to stand a chance against it. That's my feeling.
I don't know if it's unbelief totally or belief in the wrong thing.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, too.
Is that, you know, maybe that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
But then again, you can't even keep your headset on.
That's all right. I don't need my headset. Falls off my head. It's no problem.
I forgot the thing before the break. Now, what we wanted to talk about, and I think that is true, it's not knowing who the true God is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us. But let's go back to the story. What was so great about it for me in many areas is the fact the guy doesn't give up. And that's prodded by God. But I wanted to talk to the people out there that are listening. Mm-hmm. I know for me it took me 7 years to finally get sober. And we wander. But you can come back. And we had a guest on a few months ago who said that the time when we need to run to Jesus is when we're running away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you didn't do that. You kept coming back. You did run away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's real important, Bill, because we work with guys all the time. Maybe this guy you worked with last week who's trying to get sober, well, I'm going to go to jail anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Maybe there's somebody in jail that needs to hear about Christ through you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to focus on, is don't ever give up, because he doesn't give up on us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ready to go out for the second half now.
Yeah,
remember what that coach said on Netflix? Well, that's what I'm saying.
I hear that, George.
Okay. That's fair, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely fair. Yeah. Did you have an intelligent question for Matt?
Because
you're rambling, but it's a good ramble. I love it.
He had another verse he wanted to share along with that.
I love what you said, George. Two things you said. I never gave up, but you instantly said, that's a gift from God, too, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. Of course it is. And one of my son, Wyatt, and I, our favorite passage is in Luke 11, right after the Lord's Prayer. He basically tells us, be impudent. He wants us to be impudent. And impudent means annoyingly persistent. He wants us to be annoyingly persistent for asking him. And that's what I had to do. And the passage, and the one I really wanted to share was our favorite passage is Colossians 3. It says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. So Christ saves us. He draws us in. But he says, all the treasures, you want them? They're in me. By the way, they're hidden. They're not laying on the top. He wants us to dig, and this is where we dig. We dig into the Word of God, and that's where it's found. It's found. The answers are found in the Word of God. And he goes on to say, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And then he says something really powerful. See to it that no one takes you captive. Don't be taken captive. By philosophy,
philosophy and vain,
vain
deceit.
Wisdom.
Yep.
The love of wisdom and empty deceit. And what's it according to?
Human tradition.
And elemental spirits of the world. And then he says, not according to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Christ? What's Christ? Well, we have Christ's words right here, and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden right here. And so the one thing, when I was coming through this process, I saw a lot of people going to meetings and doing these things, and they would read the latest book that would be out, the popular book. I won't mention titles, but Maybe they were Christian. Maybe they weren't. If they were, they might not even been very good. But none of them read their Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad because we sometimes we live like paupers because we don't know the truth. Jesus says the truth will set you free. He doesn't make half-baked Christians, does he? We have all the answers right here. We got to have a love affair with his word.
Now when we look at this, and I listen to it, I agree with you, but I want to add something, just a little George spin on this.
Please
Our
do.
12 steps that we use are from the Bible, okay? So a lot of people will read their Bible and not be able to get sober because they don't know how to walk it out. So what I want to say to everybody out there is Jesus is the only way for salvation. However, if you are working a 12-step program and that's helping you to stay in contact with Christ, make sure Jesus is your higher power. And that can be a way, Philippians 2:12, that you walk out your faith on a daily basis. And I know for me, that's a big part of my recovery. However, the downside to a 12-step program is that if all you're doing is stopping a behavior, that's all you're doing is stopping a behavior. Mm-hmm. The Bible's very clear, Acts 4:12, by no other name are you saved.
Amen.
So what we want to do is make sure we get saved. But if going to 12-step groups is helping you stay sober, by all means, do not ever quit doing that. We don't want to stop doing that.
No.
Because there's one thing that I hear a lot, and it's been sad to see in the work I've done for the last close to 20 years. I see a lot of people who say they got delivered that along the way get undelivered pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Satan roars around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. I don't have a lot of momentum, and I know that's, you know, what we're talking about is being in the Word on a daily basis. Because, Billy, what we've seen over the years is guys that really thought they got it. And they un-got it real quick.
We've seen that many, many, many times.
You know, yep. And who the Son delivers is free indeed. But there is a peace that we have to remain obedient in community and in the Word. Mm-hmm. Because this isn't hocus pocus, all of a sudden I'm good, right? I mean, I know you're going to prisons and working with guys and in the Word and going to church. Not the one where you get a new car every year and all that. But you're walking the walk out, fair?
He's walking the walk out in me. And I would just, if I could tag on to what you
sure.
said. So I think we need to be winsome and we have to have grace and meet people where they are.
Okay, now what's winsome mean?
Well, I'm being winsome because
I thought you went to a good high school, George. Seriously,
I would just say this. I don't see examples of that. We have the example set by the disciples in the book of Acts, right?
Okay.
So when the leper gets free, he doesn't join Lepers Anonymous. When the person in Mark 9 gets set free of demons, he doesn't go to meetings. They're free. They praise God and they get on with it. And so that is the truth. If someone's here and they need to go to meetings now, praise God. Do what you got to do, but I wouldn't say that's the end. I would say that's the beginning. The end is walking free in Christ. And if I tell someone it's a disease, which it's not, it's sin, and you're going to have the disease for the rest of your life, there's no hope in that. And if Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, healed the blind, healed the sick, healed the lame, I guarantee you he can heal alcoholism, without a doubt.
Okay, now, why can't sin be a disease? Why can't?
Because it removes accountability. So when I was at Hazleton, I remember the day they sat me down and they said, when did you decide to be an addict? And I looked at them and I said, oh, gee, that's interesting. I never really decided. And they said, it's not your fault. And I felt great because it wasn't my fault. Well, it is my fault. We're born in sin. And by the way, alcoholism is no different than adultery. It's no different than any. It's sin, right? So Jesus says, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And if you even say "raca" to your brother, you've committed murder. So we hear people, they say, hi, I'm John. I'm a gratefully recovering alcoholic. And I think, gosh, I wonder, what does Christ think of that? And when's the last time you heard a pastor say, hi, I'm Pastor so-and-so. By the grace of God, I'm not an adultering, thieving, murdering liar anymore, but I'm recovering from that. And I think we got to be careful. I think there's a slippery slope. We don't want to be arrogant, and we don't want to preach sinless perfection, and we want
right.
to meet people where they are. That's winsome. But we have to tell the truth, and the truth is Jesus sets you free, and he doesn't let people live with spiritual addiction if they're in Christ, not forever. Because Jesus, physical things and spiritual things are two different realms. We're living right now in something called the already not yet. We already have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Paul makes that clear in Christ.
Okay.
We can get cancer and we can die, right? But we can't live, if I'm a Christian and I have the Spirit of Christ in me, I can't live addicted to pornography for the rest of my life. Something's wrong. Either I'm not really in Christ or God's breaking me of this, but he will not let that stand because he will not dwell a person who practices something. And those are the scriptures. One of the verses that really set me free was in Galatians 5 where Paul says, I tell you, as I told you before, people who practice these things, and he names a bunch of sins, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if people practice these things, they're probably not in Christ. But if people struggle with them, hey, I was there too. We're at the beginning of a process. But I think we have to be careful to preach you're always going to be an addict or you're always going to be this, because that's not biblical. You cannot find that in Scripture anywhere.
Oh, I disagree with you 100%. I think part of the thing that we want to be open with is, to me, you know, when I read the Bible and it talks about that until the Garden of Eden, there was no sin. We didn't die, okay? So to me, sin caused disease and death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go to the same way that, you know, Jesus is the only way to get salvation. However, Hazelden's getting thousands of people sober every year.
And if they're getting sober, I'd say Jesus is getting them sober through Hazelden.
Okay, but it didn't work for you, but it's working for a lot of people. So I want to be real careful when I say my experience is the only truth. For me, and so, I know you're not saying
that. So I'm not saying my testimony, but I'm saying what we see in Scripture, because I don't think, if you can get me there biblically, I don't think we can find an example of people who practice sin and who are in the kingdom of God.
Well, you know, when we talk about people saying that they're recovering alcoholics or not, I say that, and I know it in the Scripture. Paul said he's the chief of all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got to give people the liberty to identify themselves the way they do. You know, Jonathan Edwards said that we are most satisfied in God when, you know, we're doing what he says. God is most satisfied with us when we are most satisfied with
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be open to not do any damage to anybody by how I label them. But I do want to speak the truth.
Right.
And I agree with you, but I think the blanket statement, I think for me, I will always have the ability to renounce Christ and pick up a drink, okay? And so the mystery there for me is I am delivered, I am sanctified, okay, but I have to be obedient, because one of the verses that really makes me tremble, Billy, I think it's Matthew 7:22. I could be off on the address. Jesus says, get away from me.
I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, we prophesied, we did all this stuff. My heart is so deceptive and wicked
mm-hmm.
that I don't trust myself. And so for me, I don't want to disagree with you just to disagree with you, but I want to remain in my brokenness, because one of the verses that you quoted was John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do
Amen.
Nothing. And we also look at it that he says, you know, in all things, Christ strengthens me in all things, but in Christ. So do I move away from Christ? Yeah, I do. Mm. So for me, that's what I want to be conscious of. Billy, what do you think?
Alex, should we take a break from this cage match?
Yeah, sure.
I think we should. We'll just take a break. We'll come right back. You'll listen to Real Recovery on Faith Radio. Be back in just a minute. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Recovery. We are so, so glad you joined us tonight. And
I am.
Even more. And just hope you're still with us, listening to a very spirited conversation we're having tonight. And, George, the whole recovery spectrum is messy, complicated, and we all need to be forgiven.
Right.
Forgiven people are the ones that end up with Christ in eternity.
Well, we're having an in-house disagreement. You know,
yes.
we agree on the fundamentals of Jesus, and, you know, our story is our story, and we want to stand on that. And there are different ways to get sober, but let's face it, there's only one way to get salvation and forgiveness and get into heaven. And that's where we want to put our focus mm-hmm. on our show.
George, in James chapter 1, it says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly mm-hmm. lights, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Did you practice
shifting
shadows?
No, I
didn't. That was really well done.
Did I sound like Carson there? Shifting shadows.
Yeah, that was good.
That was kind of good, wasn't it? Yeah, but that's it's all from above, and you know, all the gifts we receive come from Him.
Yep. Well, we want to make every thought captive to Christ. And one of the things that Matt's real strong on, and we believe in very strongly on this show, is going to the Word. You know, does this stand with the Word? And you can have disagreements on that too. But I want to always focus on what does Jesus say? What mm-hmm. does the Word say? And I'll tell you, people listening out there, my experience has been I've added to my walk over the years by reading scripture that says something more to me than it used to. Not something different. But you know what I mean, Matt?
It hits you deeper, yep.
You know, you get more of an appreciation for it.
It's almost like it's active and alive.
It is. It's a double-edged that Amen. Cuts into the
Amen.
Marrow.
Yeah,
so.
That happens all the time. Praise God.
You're kind of quiet over there.
I got quiet all of a sudden, yeah.
You know, those shifting shadows.
My shifting shadows, yes. In Romans 6, 14, it says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace."
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think it's a powerful reminder for people who have made a decision to receive Christ as their Savior. They are not... They don't have to be a slave to sin anymore.
We're always a slave. We're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. A slave.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's a happy place to be, as a slave to Christ.
And another thing that I love is George said, "If you love me, you'll obey me," John 14.
You bet.
And the beautiful thing about that is that's what Ezekiel 36 is talking about. Jesus gets him there. So that John 14, 15, 16, 17, it's the Deuteronomy. Moses couldn't get him there. They crossed the Jordan, but they kept sinning. They needed someone who would change their heart, who would mm-hmm. live inside them and cause them to walk in His ways and obey His statutes. So when He says, "If you love me, you'll obey me," it's not a command. It's a statement of fact. It's this is what it will look like in the new covenant. All of Jesus, John 13, 14, 15, 16, that's what He's doing. He's talking about fruit, and He's the one who does it. That's the abiding. He creates fruit. He creates obedience. He changes people. And you know what? Sometimes it happens like this. Sometimes it happens over a period of time. But He does change us, and that's the good news, right?
You bet. You bet. And I think one of the things you can look at is, are you doing the deal, Bill? Has your life changed? If
Amen.
You say you've been saved,
yeah,
where's the fruit?
Let's look at the fruits of the Spirit, mm-hmm. Joy, peace. You know, we can name all nine of them. But are you more loving or less loving? Are you more joyful or less joyful? Do you have more peace or less peace?
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty much do an instant report card on your life, can't you?
And it changes daily.
It does. It does. But are you moving in the right direction?
And it's usually depicted on, for me, how much time I'm spending in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's the way we start our days. We get back that we're saved by faith, not mm-hmm. by works. Therefore, but we also know that faith without works is dead. And one of the things that I'm really encouraged about your testimony and what you're doing, you know, we heard Bill talk about it earlier, Matt, that he's sharing going down. You're going to prisons and preaching the Word. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, right after I got saved, I shared my testimony, and someone asked me to go in and be a part of a Bible study in prison. And after going there a couple months, they asked me and another buddy of mine to take over a whole new night of programming. And they put me in front of 165 prisoners and said, "Preach." And you know how my mouth just got dry?
Go.
You gave me that bottle of water?
Right.
It was
Go.
Times 10.
At least.
So
you're
I've been
on.
Doing that
Go.
For 6 years. Yeah, and it's a joy. It really keeps me in the Word. It really keeps me growing. It's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to my son. It's just been a joy, total joy.
I love that.
There are emotions that you share when you're doing that kind of ministry
mm-hmm.
that you cannot put a price tag on.
Right.
I mean, it's the emotion of seeing tears come down a guy's face because he's just actually for the first time heard the life-transforming message of the gospel.
Mm.
And you go, "I got to witness that. That was pretty cool."
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that just gives you so much strength and encouragement.
Amen. I remember praying that verse, that Ezekiel passage mm-hmm. with someone in front of everybody. He said, "How do I do it?" Because that's the question. How do I do it? He wanted to stop sinning. How do I do it? Well, we all know the answer. You don't. Christ in you does. But I said, "Come up here, get on our knees, and well, let's pray this."
Because mm-hmm.
that's what me and my son do. When we find out we're in sin, when we get rebellious, when mm-hmm. we get weak, We sit down and we pray the scriptures because they're the scriptures. And I did that with him, and it was one of the most enjoyable, powerful experiences I've ever had in there. And he just
it puts the focus on Christ and takes the focus off him.
Yep. Amen. And what Christ does. Yep. Mm.
You got to like that. You take the message out, and the word won't come back void, Bill. You know that. You've been going to prisons for, what, 25 years?
Oh, yeah. I've been in 80 prisons. Mm. Yeah, most of them as a volunteer.
You need a better lawyer. But that's true. And how many lives have you seen where guys, you can't even number it, can you?
You can't. And when you see that life-changing experience happen right before your eyes, and you know it's authentic, and you know that they have crossed from death to life, and it's a powerful, powerful time. And I think that's why I want to encourage anybody, even if they feel a little awkward doing ministry, to go ahead and get into it and let God take you by the hand as he did you, because when you got put in front of 160 prisoners without tons of experience as a public speaker, you were freaked out.
Yep, I was, and lo and behold, God showed up, you know?
Yeah.
I think people sit around and they think, I want to do something, I want to do it. Well, we already have the command, don't we? Go, right?
Yeah.
Go preach the gospel. Where? Wherever you can. Wherever
like
you get
that.
An opportunity, and if it doesn't work, he'll close a door and he'll open another one. Yeah, I agree, totally.
Well, it's like coming out here to come on the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's
got to
be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're in the corner, usually in a little ball I get here.
I wasn't tonight, though.
No, I know you weren't.
Yeah. Saw my cartoons this morning. I was in a good spot. There is a little scariness to trying new things, but God's with us. And if he lays it on your heart to do something, one of the things that I learned when I got into recovery, one of my mentors said, if you're asked to do something, what we do here in recovery is we do it.
Mm.
We just say, yeah, I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that in my Christian circles, that the guys who are on fire that seem to be the happiest, they work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're wrong. We were wrong about doing coke. We thought that was the, I know for me, I thought it was great. When you were talking about that, you know, it's still, for me, you know, I got to go, okay, that's not the truth. And I was wrong about that. And I remember when I got involved with some ministry things going down, I worked at the Salvation Army. I didn't want to go down there, you know? And was I wrong? It was one of the best things that ever happened.
Yeah, you end up getting blessed, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is sometimes I see this in the prison. Some of the guys get out and they have these romantic ideas that I'm going to start a big, huge ministry and da-da-da. And that's never how it works. It's like you take what you can get, you do it faithfully, and then he adds to you, doesn't he?
Yep.
Matt, I have a question for you. Do you find that when you're dealing with people and men in prison that they have a pretty strong unbelief about God's character? That they really don't know if God's trustworthy or if he's good?
I think that, yes, overall, sure.
Because if God was good, I might not be here.
Yeah, but you know, the interesting thing about prisoners, they're extremely honest, and that's one thing I love. So usually they're pretty good at taking responsibility.
They see right through you, don't they?
Yeah, and they don't lie, and so they like someone to tell them the truth, even if they don't agree with it, by the way. They want they respect you for telling them the truth or what you believe is the truth.
Well, you take the truth in there. You got the book right in front of you, and Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we take that with us, and can't go wrong preaching the word.
Yeah,
that's
Matt,
right.
Give a word of encouragement for the listeners who might be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm hearing this in a fresh way tonight.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time, so.
I'll be real quick. Yep. Okay, so in Luke 11, there's a story about right after the Lord's Prayer, this guy goes to his friends and he knocks on the door and he won't give them the bread. And the scripture says, I tell you, he won't give them the bread because he's his friend, but because of his impudence, he will. And you say, what does that mean? Well, impudence means being annoyingly persistent.
Mm-hmm.
And what God wants is us to be annoyingly persistent.
Yep.
So
yep.
if there's someone out there suffering and they need to get set free from whatever, pound on the door. Don't stop asking. Beg him, plead him, and don't stop until you get a hold of him.
Yeah, it's almost not polite, but that's what he wants.
He wants us to do that.
Yeah.
He gives us permission to annoy him. That's a pretty cool thing.
It's very cool.
Yep.
It's very cool. And it's encouraging for everybody to know that you can pray with that persistence, and you can keep pounding on the door. And it was at midnight. And back then in a society without electricity, you were long in bed at midnight.
Right.
And you had probably a one room house and the whole family was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're waking up the kids, waking up
right.
everybody. And the guy just has a friend coming over and he needs some food for him.
Yep.
It's not like there's a medical emergency. And yet the guy gets up and finally gives him what he wants because he persists. Mm-hmm. And that's just sort of the model, the character that God wants us to approach him with.
Yep, and I love how he ends it. He says he gives you the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Specifically, that's Luke 11, by the way, if anyone wants to look it up.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. Don't
really?
Give up.
Yep.
No, that's the big message, is not to give up.
Amen.
And that's been, I hate to say we have to give up right now, but our hour's up, George.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah. You've
Thank
been a wonderful
you,
guest.
Great pleasure. Job.
Thanks. We're so delighted you stuck with us tonight. Thank you for being a part of Real Recovery. We're so glad. You know, if you have a story you'd love to share on Real Recovery, you can go on the website and give us a holler. Let us know who you are and what your story is all about. And for those of you who have been able to tolerate us tonight, we're filling in for Neil Staben tomorrow on Connecting Faith, George. I don't know. Are you going to spend the night here or are you going to come back?
Parking lot.
All right. We'll see you in the parking lot. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a great week and a happy 4th of July. Good night and God bless.